This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings. It's Thursday. I'm Gail King.
I'm Nick Burleson.
And I'm Vladimir Zhutich. Tony is off today.
We're going to begin, though, with the news that the Omicron variant has been detected here in America. The first confirmed case of the strain was found in San Francisco in a person who was vaccinated but who has not gotten their booster shot just yet. So far, only 21% of eligible adults in this country have been given the booster. That leaves more than 100 million vaccinated people who have not received a booster and may have declining immunity. Nancy Cordes is at the White House with the latest on the government's response. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Good morning, Gail. The president is going to be unveiling a new set of policies today designed to help make things a little smoother this winter, a winter that now features this unpredictable new variant. The plans are meant to reduce the transmission of COVID and to bring down the cost of at-home testing.
We'll fight this variant with science and speed, not chaos and confusion.
Starting early next week, the Biden administration will require all international air travelers to get tested within one day of departure instead of three.
Relatively straightforward. We're prepared to implement it as soon as they want us to implement it.
The administration will also extend mask mandates on public transit through mid-March. It'll also launch family vaccination clinics and require health insurers to cover 100% of the cost of at-home COVID tests. The new measures come one day after the first case connected to the new variant was detected here in the U.S.
The sequence was confirmed at the CDC as being consistent with the Omicron variant.
The infected individual lives in San Francisco, but returned from South Africa on November 22nd, just a few days before scientists there revealed the existence of the new variant. The traveler tested positive a week later.
The evidence that an individual with Omicron identified by sequencing actually has mild symptoms is improving, I think, is a testimony to the importance of the vaccinations.
The CDC has directed airlines to provide the names of any passengers who traveled to the eight southern African nations near where the variant was first detected within the past 14 days. The California traveler was vaccinated but did not have a booster shot, and U.S. officials are mulling over the possible necessity of an Omicron-specific booster.
The administration has been in contact with the pharmaceutical companies to go ahead and take the steps in case we need it. But the mistake people would make is to say, let me wait and see if we get one. If you're eligible for boosting, get boosted right now.
All U.S. adults now eligible for a booster if it's been 6 months since that Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. Now, scientists won't know whether the Omicron-related booster is necessary until they're able to study how responsive the variant is to the current batch of vaccines. The president is slated to announce all these new policies at the National Institutes of Health this afternoon. Vlad.
All right, Nancy, thank you very much. Joining us now is Dr. Celine Gounder, who served during the transition on then-President-elect Biden's COVID-19 advisory board. She's an epidemiologist and infectious disease expert at the NYU Grossman School of Medicine and Bellevue Hospital and host of the Epidemic Podcast. Good morning. Good to see you.
Great to see you.
So presumably, these measures that the president is set to announce, do you agree with them, and do you think that they are enough?
I do think we need to be tightening up our recommendations and restrictions around travel. I think we should have really tightened up that window for testing far earlier in the pandemic with the emergence of the Delta variant, which has a very short incubation period. So I think it's a move in the right direction. It's a little bit too late.
Were you surprised that this Omicron variant turned up in San Francisco, in California, in the United States, even though we'd only really just heard about it a couple of days ago?
Not really. Many of us were assuming that it was already here. If you think about where are the big travel hubs, San Francisco is one, especially with Asia and other parts of Africa. And California tests pretty aggressively for the Omicron variant. So, of course, you're not going to find something unless you're looking for it.
So the Delta variant was 50% more contagious than the Alpha variant. We don't know yet how contagious or infectious Omicron is, but can we, just using the science, assume that it will be more so than Delta?
There are some worrisome signs that we're seeing from South Africa. The slope of increase was really dramatic in terms of Omicron cases. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's more infectious, but it points to the fact that it could be.
The case that was discovered in San Francisco, fully vaccinated person showing mild symptoms, had received both shots, but not a booster. What does that tell you?
Well, one of the other concerns we have about Omicron is, could it be immune evading? So that could apply to natural infection or vaccines. We are seeing people who had prior infection in South Africa being now reinfected with Omicron. And the vaccines may be a little bit less protective, as was the case with this person in San Francisco, against the Omicron variant.
So one of the questions, and you and I were talking about this, Doctor, the danger of future variants. As the virus bounces around the population between unvaccinated and vaccinated people, how critical is it for folks to get vaccinated? Because my understanding, based on the science, is that because we have so many people unvaccinated, that gives rise to future variants.
Well, anytime the virus has the opportunity to spread from one person to another, it is replicating and it mutates. And some of those mutants will end up being variants. So we're really increasing the odds, the risk of a variant emerging, the more we allow the virus to spread. So vaccination is certainly a way of reducing that risk of new variants.
So quickly, before we go 10 seconds, what do you recommend for people to do as they gather for the holidays?
Get vaccinated. And if you haven't gotten a booster yet, get your booster.
All right. Dr. Celine Gounder, as always, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Now to Capitol Hill. Republicans who oppose the president's vaccine mandates could shut down the government this weekend in protest. But other Republicans, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, say it's not worth it to close the government. Lawmakers who support the shutdown idea say they'll block a budget bill that must pass by tomorrow night unless the administration drops its vaccine mandates. Over the past week, a handful of judges have rejected parts of the Biden vaccine mandates.
The Supreme Court is set to decide whether to overrule one of the most historic decisions. The justices heard arguments yesterday over a Mississippi law that bans abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. This is the most significant challenge to Roe v. Wade in decades. Jan Crawford is at the Supreme Court with audio of some of the questions that the justices asked. Jan, good morning to you. They sure had a lot of questions yesterday.
They did, Gail. And, you know, based on those questions, I think that it appears right now the court is inclined to allow that Mississippi 15-week ban. But it's not at all clear they're going to take the next step and overturn Roe versus Wade.
Protesters from across the country on both sides came to make their voices heard. Inside the courtroom, liberal justices argued Roe versus Wade is too established to overturn.
50 years of decisions saying that this is part of our law, that this is part of the fabric of women's existence in this country.
And would put at risk the court's legitimacy.
Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts?
Chief Justice John Roberts suggested the court could uphold the Mississippi law, which prohibits abortion after 15 weeks, without overturning Roe.
If you think that the issue is one of choice, that women should have a choice to terminate their pregnancy, why would 15 weeks be an inappropriate line?
But that still would be a major shift from its last big abortion case in 1992, when the court drew that line at viability, around 24 weeks. Mississippi's only abortion clinic, now at the center of the fight, performs abortions up to 16 weeks.
Where does the line get drawn?
A lawyer from Mississippi said the issue should be up to the states, which struck a chord with Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Why should this court be the arbiter rather than Congress, the state legislatures, state Supreme Courts, the people being able to resolve this.
But predicting how the court is going to decide this case is really impossible, because no matter how it might look today, the justices can always change their minds when they're deliberating behind the scenes. So if you hear anybody saying that they know the court is going to overturn Roe or they're not going to, just tell them you don't know what's going to happen between now and June when we expect a decision in this case. Nate?
Jan, thank you so much. Now, we are learning more about the lives that were lost during this week's school shooting in Oxford, Michigan. Neighbors are coming together to mourn and pray as the alleged gunman faces murder and terrorism charges. Yesterday, the death toll rose to 4. Nancy Chen reports.
We didn't quit. We came back. We grinded, worked every day. We trust each other. We all love each other.
16-year-old Tate Meir died on the way to the hospital.
Tate was honestly one of the best people I've been privileged to know in my life.
Senior Austin Witt played football with Meir.
He was always happy, cracking jokes. He was honestly the heart and soul of our team and probably our community. He's a true hero, and my thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
Meir was one of the 4 teenagers killed on Tuesday, along with 14-year-old Hannah St. Juliana, a member of the basketball team, 17-year-old Madison Baldwin, who would have graduated next year, and 17-year-old Justin Schilling, who is on the golf and bowling teams. On Wednesday, the alleged shooter, Ethan Crumbly, pleaded not guilty.
Sir, do you understand all the charges against you?
Yes, I do.
Investigators say there is a mountain of digital evidence that strongly suggests Crumbly planned the attack in advance. Evidence that law enforcement officials say includes a video he made the night before the shooting that mentioned killing students, a journal recovered from his backpack detailing his desire to shoot up the school, and social media postings of the gun used in the attack, purchased by his father just 4 days before the shooting. Prosecutor Karen McDonald says the charges are clear.
Charging this person as an adult is necessary to achieve justice and protect the public.
The 15-year-old faces 24 charges, including 4 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of terrorism causing death.
What about all the children who ran screaming, hiding under desks? What about all the children at home right now who can't eat and can't sleep and can't imagine a world where they could ever step back, foot back in that school? Those are victims too.
Investigators say the alleged shooter walked into a bathroom around 12:50 p.m. Tuesday with a backpack and walked out moments later with a semi-automatic handgun, firing more than 30 shots at students.
It was horrific. It was really startling hearing everyone come out and not knowing where the gunshots would be next.
Senior Mitchell Williams fled his classroom as soon as he heard the gunshots.
It's really sad, and it's... No one knows really what to do because of it, and it's something that should have never happened.
Nancy, we are told that the suspect met with school officials before the shooting. What can you tell us about that?
Nate, that's right. The county sheriff told us that the alleged shooter met twice with school officials this week over behavioral issues. The first was on Monday on his own. The second was with his parents just 3 hours before the shooting took place. And prosecutors say those parents have not been cooperating and they're considering bringing charges against them as well. The sheriff did tell us that despite rumors, his office did not have advance notice about this attack.
Nancy, thank you.
The select committee investigating the assault on the Capitol will ask for criminal charges against another ally of former President Trump. Members voted unanimously to hold former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena. The House of Representatives will have to approve the motion. The committee suspects Clark played a key role in efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. Clark appeared for a deposition last month but refused to answer questions. The panel will give him another chance this weekend, but he's expected to claim his Fifth Amendment rights. Former White House advisor Steve Bannon already faces contempt charges after rejecting the committee's subpoena.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.